that they give the youth minister the pulpit, and it's really not much of a pulpit we normally get. We just get a little music stand. But they don't usually give us the pulpit because we usually wind up saying something stupid that we shouldn't have said. And we're used to talking to a bunch of teenagers and students. And I'll just say this, I'm not used to talking to adults. And to be honest with you, it really kind of just scares the snot out of me because y'all scare me. And especially all the whoops. And I've never been at a graduation Sunday where I've had more response from the audience. I mean, I wish y'all sang that hard sometimes. But anyway, we come today at a place that's a very special place for us as a church and as a student ministry and as a people. We have some of the finest students that I've ever seen. I've been involved in a lot of student ministries in a lot of places throughout the state of Texas, and I've been involved in a lot of different socioeconomic diverse cultures, but I tell you what, the students that we have here at UBC will blow your mind. They are some of the most incredible students that I have seen anywhere. And I can't tell you how much and how impressed I am with them every time I turn around. And a lot of that, majority of that has to do with you as parents and you as Sunday school teachers and you as a church. You've been able to watch these students grow from the time they were young until the time they're now graduating. And I've been able to watch them for about the last 3 years and have been nothing but impressed and blown away. Because we come to this place today, we get to speak to our graduates. Graduates, you have a road coming ahead of you that is wide open. You have things that you will not see because the future is not knowable, but what you have is the promises. And we come to this place today and we speak to the students, but we also speak to adults, and we also speak to you as parents and you as grandparents and you as moms and dads and brothers and sisters. Our seniors have come to this place and they stand on this precipice. They stand on this cliff where they're getting ready. They have come on a long journey and they're getting ready to enter into something new. They come on the edge of the cliff and they look out ahead of them and they go, there's a huge thing happening in my life. Massive changes are fixing to come. They stand there and they look out and they know that there's major things happening. Maybe you are there as well. Maybe you as an adult are coming to this place where you say, I'm coming to this edge of something that's huge, the edge of something that's going to change everything I know. But it's marked by a journey. And for our students, our graduates, that journey has been a journey through high school, through elementary school and intermediate school and now high school. And they have been on a long, hard journey with tons of long, hard hours of work and sweat and tears and begging for the grade and begging for money and worrying about what college they're going to go to and figuring out how they're going to pay for college. And that's just mom and dad. And now we talk about the seniors and how they've worked hard for their grades and how they have devoted themselves to what they're doing and where they're going. And we all come to this place. We all come to this point where we stand on the cliffs and we look out and we know that everything's about to change. We see this same story in the story of Moses. And Moses has been traveling with the people in the wilderness for the last 40 years. And we see that same story in us that we see in Moses. Moses shares that common story for us. Maybe that's your story right now. Maybe everything like our seniors is about to change. Maybe you're coming on this place where you are getting ready to see things anew. Maybe it's a new child. Maybe it's a new family. Maybe it's a marriage. Maybe it's the loss of a family, or maybe it's the loss of a marriage. Or maybe it's getting ready to go to college, or maybe it's trying to figure out how in the heck you're going to pay for college. But you know that as you stand on this place and you stand at this point, everything in your future is going to be different. We share that story and we know that we can learn from that.
Because God speaks to us in those times. God speaks to us when we have journeyed and we have journeyed hard and we know that we look out and we are uncertain, but we know that God speaks in this place the same way that he spoke to the people of Israel. In the same way that he spoke to Moses, and we have that matching story. They've been on a journey. It's a journey marred by rebellion. It's a journey marred by whining. It's a journey marred by going, I want to die back where I was left. I want you to let me die somewhere else. But that journey is what gets us to where we are. Those rebellions and those places that we learn from. I imagine Moses with his people that he's been traveling with for 40 years, and they've been trying to attain one goal. They've been trying to attain one thing, and they come to this place in Deuteronomy chapter 31 where God says, it's all come to fruition, Moses. Moses, everything that you have been looking for the last 40 years is now fixing to happen. But there's one thing that's not going to happen, is you don't get to go with them. Maybe you're at this place and you've been journeying, and students, you have been journeying, and we are so proud of the work that you have done, and we're so proud of where you have been, and we look forward to where you're going. And we know that in the future we learn from these lessons of Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 31. Read with me, if you would. We read the story of Moses as he comes to this place. It's his last counsel, and he stands before the people of Israel, and God has said, I want you to tell the people these things. And he has stood for the last day or two reciting to the people all the laws that God has given him and all the things that God has told him. And it's the last time. And it's the last point where Moses is going to speak to the people. And it's the last thing that Moses says to them. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, starting in verse 1. So Moses went and spoke these words to all of Israel. And he said to them, I am 120 years old. I am no longer able to come and go, and the Lord has said to me, you shall not cross this Jordan. It is the Lord your God who will cross ahead of you. He will destroy the nations before you, and you shall dispossess them. Joshua is the one who will cross ahead of you, just as the Lord has spoken. Then we skip down to verse 7. Then Moses called to Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land which the Lord has shown to their fathers to give them, and you shall give it to them as an inheritance. The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. I have this picture, this image of Moses standing on the cliffs, looking out over the millions of people of Israel, and behind him is the wilderness of which they've just journeyed for 40 years, or as the rest of us sitting in this section can call high school. And we look out, and he looks out, and he sees the people, and behind them he can see the lush green fields of the plain of Moab and the trees with fruit, and he sees the streams, and he looks out, and he knows that's where they're going, and that is what God has promised. And you can call this college if you'd like. Or maybe that's where you are. Maybe God has brought you through the wilderness, and behind you is the dirt and the muck and the grime, and before you is the plains of Moab. Or maybe you need to spin that around and you go, you know what? What's behind me is the lushness. It's the lush fields, and what's before me is the dirt and the sand and everything that gets in your sandals. I think there's some lessons we learn as we look at this story, as we understand that Moses led with great regret. I pray that as you guys get ready, students, as you get ready to look back on your college years in the next 4 years, adults, as you look back on this time where you've come to this precipice and you've said everything's about to change, everything's about to be different, as you look back on this decision-making point, that the points and the decisions that you make, that you live with no regrets. Students, that you live with no regrets. Adults, that you live with no regrets. And I don't mean that you look back and go, you know what, everything I did perfectly, because sometimes you're going to mess up. But in Numbers chapter 20, we can see that Moses came to this place where the people were whining and they were tired and they were hot and they're going, Moses, we want some water. And Moses was sick and fed up, and he says, you know what, fine, I'll give you your stinking water. And God says, Moses, I want you to take your staff, I want you to go to that rock, and I want you to hit it once, and your people will have water. And Moses says, fine, I'll do it. And he goes, and he takes that staff, and there's your water. And he wants them to know, I'm mad. I'm irritated that you have been whining all this time, but God has blessed you and God has brought you to this point, but all you do is moan and whine. And in that time, Moses sinned. And in that point, Moses did what God had not told him to. I believe that regret comes from us coming to the place in our own hearts that we're willing to lay down our faith and our convictions to attain something that is more important to us than our faith and our convictions. Regret is when we are willing to lay it all down to attain something that is materialistic, that is emotional, or that is fleeting. And we look back on that point and we regret. Adults, you're at this precipice. Students, you're at this point. And I pray as you look back on it, you live with no regret. I hope that there is nothing in this world, that there is nothing that God has put, that man has made. There is nothing that is so fleeting. There is nothing that is so material that you're willing to lay down everything you know and everything you believe so that you can attain it more than the gospel of Jesus Christ. More than the kingdom of God. Because there is nothing in this world that is more important than the gospel. And there is nothing in this world that's more important than the kingdom of God that is worth laying aside and putting that down so that we can attain this. Students, there's nothing worth you putting God aside for a little while so that you can experience or you can attain or you can get this. Because the gospel and the kingdom are the only things that will be eternal. And they're the only things that will last. Because we come here and we say, students, you say, how am I going to handle college? How am I going to handle my books? And how am I going to handle my grades? And adults, we come to this place and we say, how am I going to handle the change of a job? Or how am I going to handle the gaining of a daughter or a son? Or how am I going to handle this thing? I think the issue that's going on here is that we're asking the wrong question. Because Moses, it was an I moment. You can have your stinking water, but I want you to know that I'm mad. Regret always comes with I moments. And we have to stop asking the I question, that how will I handle this? And we have to start asking the God, how will this affect your kingdom? And God, how will this affect the gospel going forth from this place? And God, how will this allow me to live with the value that makes you known to this world? God, what makes your gospel prosper in this situation that I'm in right now? God, how can I make this for the center of my universe be about you and be about what you need me to do for the kingdom and for the gospel. Because when we start asking that question, we start asking that question of God, how does this prosper your gospel? And God, how does this prosper your kingdom? Our focus comes off of the self, and it comes off of the I, and it comes off of what am I going to do to fix this? And it moves to Jesus. And our focus moves to the kingdom, and it moves to the scriptures. And that becomes our focus. And when our eyes and our hearts and our lives are more filled with the gospel of Jesus Christ and the prosper of his kingdom, our eyes and our hearts are less filled with ourselves. And our eyes are less worried about houses or clothes or jobs or cars. And they're more concerned about, God, how will this make your gospel known to the world? How will my child giving up a year to go serve in foreign missions, instead of me worrying about their future, I worry about the gospel, and I send you forth. I pray that we live with no regret. When we come to this place, our question is, God, how will this affect you and your kingdom? And not, God, how will this affect me? Because regret comes when we lay those things aside. Students, adults, I pray and I hope that you never take your eyes off of Jesus. Because Peter did not regret stepping out of the boat. What Peter regretted was taking his eyes off of Jesus. Abraham did not regret moving when God said, I want to call you to a place that you is not known to you. But Abraham did have regret when he took it upon himself to do something that God promised him he would do. Isaiah did not regret responding, here am I, send me, Lord, when God asked, whom shall I send? And I pray, students, and I pray, adults, as you come to this place, that you will not regret the decisions you make when you look back, because your answers for your questions were not based on you, but they were based on God and the kingdom. And we live that way, we will live without regret. God's kingdom is what it's all about. In verse 3, I think we see one of the most important things that we can find in this section. One of the most important parts, I think, is verse 3, when God says, it is the Lord, and when Moses says, it is the Lord your God who will cross ahead of you. He will destroy the nations before you, and you shall depossess them. Joshua is the one who will go ahead of you. The Lord your God will cross ahead of you. Students, this is one of the most important lessons that I think you will learn. It was one of the most important things that I tried to learn, and it's taken me years to continue to learn, and it's something that I continue to learn. But God has made a promise to you, and has God made a promise to me, that he will go ahead of us. That in this point, he will go ahead of the Israelites as they cross the Jordan in our lives, that he will go ahead of us, and he will move in a way that we understand it's God moving. And we have to look for those places of where God is working. And instead of asking God, God, this is where I'm going, this is where I'm moving, I pray, I hope that you'll come alongside me and bless me what I'm doing. But this is where I'm going. But we get to the point where we say, God, please show me where you're working ahead of me and allow me to follow you. Mary Michelle and I and our family moved here in, I moved in June of 2007, and they followed shortly in September as we had had to sell our home. And a little bit after that, November of 2007, Mary Michelle calls me at work one day, and she says, "You have to come home." And I'm thinking, oh, something blow up? And she says, "No, I need you to come home because we need to talk. We need to talk really. There's something big." And so luckily, at that point, we lived about 38 seconds from the church. So I jump in my truck. I drive home. I sit down, and she says, "I got a phone call today." And if you don't know our story, part of Mary Michelle and I's journey together is that we have had the delight to adopt two beautiful children, Cade and Lily, our twins. We had Riley, and then a little bit after that, God called us to adopt Cade and Lily, and we did so, and they have been just fantastic to be with. But we were done at that point. I was way done at that point. In 2007, we sat down on the couch at our house, and Mary Michelle said, "CPS called." And in our lives, CPS was just a part of our lives because we adopted through the state. And she said, "Caden Lily's birth mother has had another child." And I said, "Whoa, what are they going to do with it?" And she says, "Well, they have asked us to take him. They've asked us if he can come live with us and if we'll adopt him." And at that moment in time, there was no questions in my mind. There was not a thought process. There was not a prayer lifted up. There was only one word that came out of my mouth. It was no. We can't do it. We just can't do it. I was worried about our finances, and I was worried about our level of stress, and I was worried about the fact that I already got three of them. I don't need any extras. But in that moment, in that time, it took me months. And that was November, and I remember driving north on 45 in the middle of December, and I started asking, God, why would you do this to me? I don't need four kids. And at that point, when I finally started asking God the question of what he wanted to do, my heart began to change. And my ideas began to change on this. And the question, this point, is I was not asking God to show me where he was going ahead of us, or he was going ahead of our family. In our lives, we need to be asking God, where are you going ahead of us? And let us join you in that. And for me, at that moment, I was not asking God, where have you already crossed over the Jordan and I need to follow you? But I was asking God, this is where I'm going, and I hope that you will join me. And it's with three kids and three kids only. But God said, this is where I'm moving, and this is where you need to be. And it took me a long time. And finally, in middle of January, I had to look at Mary Michelle, and I had to say, you know what? I trust you. I've come to this place where I don't understand, and I'm not real comfortable, and I'm still a whole lot worried, but I trust you. And if this is where our family needs to go, that's where we'll go. And if you have ever met little Gray Gray, you will know that he is just one of the cutest things that God ever put on the face of this planet. When he walks into an inanimate object and he goes, no, 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 no. You just laugh. And he has been the delight of our family and the light. And he has been a joy. But sometimes we forget to ask God where he's going ahead of us. We have to start asking that question of God, where are you moving? Students, ask that question. Ask the question, God, where are you moving so that I can get behind you? Because that is the safest and most comfortable place to be. It may be hard, It may not be an easy road, but that is where we're supposed to be. It's where God is moving ahead of us. Henry Blackaby says it this way: when you see the Father at work around you, that is your invitation to adjust your life and to join Him in His work. Seek where God is going ahead of you and jump behind Him. As the Israelite people did, as God went before them, jump behind Him and walk every footstep behind Him. The last lesson that I think we learn, one of the other lessons that I think we learn, because there's still a ton of lessons to learn from this passage, is that one of the most important things for you to do, students, is to find people that are wise and people that are experienced and follow them and walk with them and seek their wisdom and yearn to hear their wisdom. Because in this story, we see that the next leader for the Israelite people after they get across the Jordan is Joshua. And God has placed His hand on Joshua and said, Israel, this will be your next leader. This will be the person that shows you and guides you. And I've placed my hand on him. And for the last 20-something years, he has walked with Moses. And Moses has shown him and taught him and guided him. And students, one of the best places that I have ever come to in my life is when I was willing to put down my pride and put down thinking that I knew everything and realize that there are people that I yearn to learn from. That's that there are people that are older and wiser that we can seek their wisdom. And I believe that this is a biblical call and a biblical mandate for you. Adults, it's also a call on your life to find somebody wiser than you that's been there and has done that and can help you. But you know what the other side of that is? It's also a call on your lives to find one of these young students that you can take under your wing and you can say, you know what? I'd love to guide you. And I'd love to be there for you. About 6 years ago, I was living in Corsicana, Texas, and a buddy of mine invited me out to come see his operation. And he and his family ran about a 6,000-acre operation outside of Frost, Texas, and their land covered about spread out over 12 square miles. And I was just fascinated at this because it's big tractors and, you know, big equipment, and it's just fun. And so one day I went out and I met James at his place of business, and we jumped in his big old massive F-36,000 truck that you have to have a step ladder to climb into. And he legitimately needs one of these. Okay, y'all don't. Let's be honest. But I get to climb in, and he's driving me all around his land. He's showing me all this stuff, and he's teaching me with the combines. He's telling me what silage is and how they let the plants die, and they stack it up, and they let it rot, and then the cows eat it for food. And I'm going, that's just gross. But okay, if it works. He's telling me how he makes more money off that sometimes than he does his crops. And we're just listening and talking, and we come to this place where he goes, Kyle, let me give you a bit of advice. You've just had a baby, and at that point, we had just had Riley, and we'd had her for about a year. She's about a year old. We didn't have her. She's a year old. She's about a year old, and he says, there's going to be a place in your life soon, really, really soon, where you're going to come to this place where a lot of things are going to drift away. A lot of your duck hunting and all of your dog training and all of the things that were important to you will now kind of stop to be important, and you will begin to focus on this child and this family. And I was like, oh, James, you have no idea. I will never stop duck hunting. And I will train my dogs every day. And he said, it'll slip away. And one of the things I want to tell you is that it's okay. And you need to get behind. And you need to support that time. And I said, I saw James at a wedding about 2 weekends ago. And I walked up to James and I said, James, you know what? You were right. He said, what? You're telling somebody he's right? And I said, yeah. And I wish I would have listened to you 6 years ago when you told me that. Students, find somebody that is wiser than you, as Joshua found Moses. Follow in those footsteps, because that will affect everything you do. When you can learn from somebody that is wiser than you and has experienced it, it will change your world. Adults, I urge you, find somebody that you can invest into. Invest in a life in this church, in this community. Find a teenager or a young adult that needs wisdom. And you may think you don't have anything to offer, but you do. You've been there and you've done that. So I pray is that we come to this precipice, as we come to this place, as we look out over the future students, that you live with no regrets. And that you know that the Lord is going before you, and you jump behind him where he's going before you, and you find people that are wiser than you. And they're everywhere, believe me. Some of them even live at home with you. But we come to this place where we understand that there's nothing more important than the gospel of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. And we change the way we ask those questions day in, day out. Pray with me, if you will. Father God, we thank you for your leadership in our lives. And God, we praise you that you care for us and you yearn for us. And you are jealous for us. And as our graduates get ready for the future, God, I pray that you guide them and they seek your guidance. And they seek where you're leading and they move there. And I pray for the people of UBC, for the adults, and that we as a church and we as a people, that we find where you are leading and where you are guiding and where you are going before us, and we walk in that. And we know that when we follow you, you have made our pathway straight, and you have made our feet tread lightly. We praise you and we love you. It's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.